Golf Interview with Anne Liguori is brought to you by Tourism Ireland. Ireland is open and ready to welcome you back. World-class courses, celebrated links, spectacular scenery, rich culture, and the warmest of welcomes await. Now is the time to get back to the things that matter most. Now is the time for Ireland. Press the green button and start planning at ireland.com/golf. And by iBeCool Athleisure Wear for men and women. Technology meets fashion with iBeCool. Stylish UPF 50 plus sun protection and ice field technology to cool your body temperature on hot and humid days. Look great and protect your skin. iBKUL.com. It is my pleasure to say hello to Austin Greaser, who will be playing in the U.S. Amateur Championship, which starts tomorrow at Ridgewood Country Club and Arcola Country Club in New Jersey. And Austin, what a pleasure to have you on Talking Golf.
Yeah, absolutely happy to be here, and thanks so much for having me, Ann.
It was great to meet you in person at the media preview day at the USAM at Ridgewood, and I know you played that day, so what did you think of the golf course?
Yeah, I'm extremely excited. Ridgewood and Arcola, both are going to be, I think, really tough, great tests of golf for, the top amateurs in the world. And I think USGA is going to, it's going to be a USAM they've always wanted and always depicted to be, you know. I mean, it's going to play tough. It's going to be long. It's going to be hard to score, but it's probably a pretty much a major championship in amateur golf. So it's what you'd expect. And I'm really looking forward to it.
Boy, I played Ridgewood that day and it was tough. The greens were so tough. What do you think is going to be the toughest part of Ridgewood?
Yeah, I think actually similar to the Western course last week, one of the things about Ridgewood is there's no first cut, and it's already very narrow off the tee. So the tough thing about that is you can hit a good tee shot that's left center or right center of the fairway. And if it's firm and fast and it gets rolling at all, you can end up rolling into some, you know, 4, 5, 6 inch roughs. So I think that's actually might be one of the tougher parts of this golf course is not only are the fairways already tight, but they're almost effectively tighter because there's no first cut and your ball can, you know, like I said, it'd be right center and it's rolling and it just roll right into the deep stuff. So
not only are the greens going to be challenging, but if you get, you just want to stay out of that rough. That rough was pretty impossible, as I remember, because I was there a lot. How about Arcola? What do you think the challenges of Arcola will be?
Yeah, I actually think Arcola's greens may be even a hair tougher than Ridgewood. They were rolling like, I think somewhere between like 13.8 and like 14.2 on that round we played a couple weeks ago. So they're extremely fast. They're very firm. I think the wind can kind of start blowing over at that golf course. There's not quite as many trees as Ridgewood to block it. So the fairways are a little bit more generous off the tee, but the greens are tough and it's going to be a great co-host course.
Well, I'm looking forward to it, to see all of you guys play. I know you recently won the Western Am Championships. Congratulations. So you're coming into this USAM playing pretty good golf, I'd say.
Yeah, thank you so much. Yeah, it felt good to get a win last week at a big event like that. And yeah, I think the game's in a good spot.
So you're 21 years old. You'll be a senior at UNC and you're determined to get your college degree, right?
Yeah, I'm going to finish up this year, last year, get my degree this year, and then chase professional golf after that.
You're studying what, sports business, did you say?
Sport administration. Yeah, give or take.
All right. Okay. And you're from Ohio. You're an Ohio guy, and I'm a Buckeye myself, born and raised outside of Cleveland, Brecksville, Ohio. You're from a small town outside of Dayton, right?
Yep.
So what was it like growing up there, and talk about your history in golf? When did you start and did you pretty much stay in Ohio and play in Ohio?
Yeah. So, growing up here in the Midwest, I actually really liked it. Kind of a slower lifestyle, I guess, than maybe some of the bigger East Coast cities and stuff like that. But I really enjoyed it. I got into golf. My dad played after college. He picked it up after college. And then when I was about 5, I think, I kind of started to play with him, kind of started to roll around the cart with him, kind of tee it up wherever I could, chip and putt around the green. So, kind of started then, and most of my competitive golf up until probably 16, 17 was pretty local, Cincinnati, Columbus area too. That's about an hour away, both of those. So mostly local here in Ohio, maybe a couple out of state stuff, but mostly local, and then kind of started to branch off a little bit when I started to get better, started to get invited to some bigger events, and knew I kind of wanted to take this thing to the next level. So, but yeah, most of it was played in Dayton or at least Ohio, for a while until, like I said, about 16 to 17.
And then you could start playing year round when you became a student and a golfer at UNC, right? What was that like? That difference, being able to really work on your game 12 months out of the year.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think that was one of the big reasons, I made the decision to go there. It definitely adds at least 4 to 6 weeks on either end of the season, and it doesn't ever get near as cold down there. I mean, I know, I say this as a joke, but some of my teammates will complain about 40, 45 degrees, and I'll be like, wow, guys, I mean, I know it's not warm, but this is great. I mean, I'll go out and hit some balls in that weather all day long, being from Ohio. So that was definitely a big reason I decided to go down there, and it's so far I've really enjoyed it.
So talk about your college years, your golf career at UNC.
Yeah, so I think freshman year, I didn't really have that many good finishes, didn't really play super well, just trying to find a happy medium in that transition, at school and stuff. But sophomore year kind of kicked it up a notch a little bit. We didn't have a fall season because of COVID, but the spring I played really well. I think I had three top fives, three top tens, out of nine events or something like that. Didn't have any wins, but felt like the game was really trending in the right direction, making some better swings, seeing some better results. And that kind of that's kind of what led me into the summer that I had last year, going into my junior year at Carolina. So that sophomore spring was felt like it was pretty big for me to understand that my game could compete against some of the best amateurs in the world, and really believe it moving forward.
And why do you think that was the case? What was the big difference that you made in your game during those years?
Yeah, I mean, I can't really put my finger on it for sure. I've always felt like I've worked pretty hard, just tried to clean up little aspects of my game. But when COVID kind of hit, I felt like, I really took it serious in terms of getting better and working on physical part of the game, mental part of the game. Especially when there was some downtime there where no tournaments were going on, nobody kind of knew when where the light at the tunnel was going to be. So I think, I really took that portion of time seriously and trying to get better. And I seen results pretty quick from the 2020 summer into the 2020 fall. We didn't play college events, but I played a couple, very little, individual amateur events, but got a win or two in those. And just kind of figured out how to win, figured out that, my game was getting closer to where I wanted it to be, getting better and better, and just kept trying to build off every event, really.
And what do you think is the strength and weakness of your game right now? If you can give out that info.
I definitely think putting is my number one strength, followed closely by driving the golf ball. I think putting, I have typically pretty good speed. Typically make a couple here and there. So I try to lean on the flat stick quite a bit. Driving the golf ball, I don't probably hit it the farthest, but I give it a pretty good poke. So when I'm hitting on the screws and hitting in the middle face, it's going pretty far, pretty straight, and that typically helps. Weakness, I guess, probably need to sharpen up the wedges a little bit, both around the green and both, in the 60 to 100 yard range. But I feel like it's hard to ever be happy there. I think any, amateur, even professional you talk to, I mean, it's always trying to get just a little bit better, just trying to sharpen it up a little bit. So I think that's probably where I can improve the most. But I guess I don't necessarily see as a weakness, is more just somewhere that I can improve and just keep getting better, honestly.
I like that attitude. And if you can putt, you can be very dangerous for sure. All right. So last year at the USAM, James Pyatt beat you 2-1. He rallied back from a 3-hole deficit. How tough was that for you, Austin, to deal with that loss? Because I'm sure it was quite disappointing.
Yeah, it definitely was. I mean, I had my few minutes to be upset there right after, maybe a couple of days. It kind of stung, but the way I looked at it in the same year, or same thing this year, getting into the final group of the Western was, my win for the week, both then and this past week, was getting myself a tee time in the last group, right? Getting myself into the last match. As far as I'm concerned, that's what I practice and prepare for, is definitely to win the event. But to put myself in contention, put myself in a position to win. So that was kind of my intangible win for the week, really, both last year and this year, was I was in the last group of the tournament out of many, many guys in the world. So it's really hard to hang my head too much. Got some really good consolation prizes along with it. It definitely stung, but I think it almost made me a little bit hungrier. And I think, you know, it might end up turning to be a positive for my career.
Absolutely. I mean, you got invited to the Masters. You were one of only four AMs to make the cut at the Country Club in Brookline, Mass for the U.S. Open. What was that experience like?
Yeah, I mean, both of them were extremely cool. The Masters, I felt like, you know, learned a ton about myself under some nerves and under some pressure I'd never felt before. I felt like I fared fairly well, actually. I just had a rough back nine the second round through 27 holes. And I understand it's a 72-hole tournament, but through 27 holes, I was only five off the lead. So I felt like my game was hanging pretty good. So I felt like, well, I guess what I'm getting at is I learned a lot during the Masters week that I felt like my game could hang, felt like I belonged out there, and kind of gave me confidence going into the U.S. Open saying, hey, I mean, you know, these guys are good, not taking anything away from them, but I feel like I can hang with them. And I feel like I can, you know, my game is close to where they're at. You know, give me a couple more years, give me a few more reps, and I'll be right there. So just try to carry that confidence into the U.S. Open. And I felt like I did that pretty good, played very solid, didn't have the weekend I wanted by any means, but the fact that I had a tee time on Saturday and Sunday, I mean, that's been a dream of mine since being a little kid. The end goal is not to just make cuts, but I will say that was a big step for me in the right direction in my career to have a tee time on the weekend at a major. I mean, I've been dreaming of that since being a little kid. It gives me chills talking about it. So like I said, not the weekend I wanted, but just so much to build off of that week and understand that, hey, you know, my game can really hang with those guys out there.
Absolutely. To make the cut and play on the weekend at the U.S. Open, how did you manage your nerves? Because I'm sure it felt a little different being it was, you know, major championship. You were playing with the big boys and you made the cut. How did you handle it?
I mean, I feel like there's not really a good answer for that, just because both at the Masters and U.S. Open, I mean, I was as nervous as I've ever been. I mean, there's no way to sugarcoat that. And I'm assuming, you know, everybody's first time at a major is going to be that exact same way. But I think, you know, one kind of thing I really like to do in any event, really, is just try to make things as simple as possible. And, you know, something me and my head coach at school talk about all the time is, maybe it's kind of a funny way to say it, but you know, the ball has no idea, right? It's the same game. It's the same size ball. It's the same size hole. It's just, you're playing the same game. The ball has no idea what pressure is on, you know? So just trying to kind of simplify things down and understand that the practice and preparation, as I hinted at earlier, I mean, this is what you practice for, is to have these nerves, right? Like you're in a position that, you're in the position you want to be in if you're having those type of nerves. So honestly, I actually embraced the nerves quite a bit for that reason. You know, same thing I felt myself doing really well at the USAM last year, and even this past week at Western, was regardless of what happens, I'm feeling these nerves because I'm in a spot I've always wanted to be in, right? So I think that's kind of the way that I'm able to harness those nerves in a positive way, and just understand that everybody feels nerves. The best in the world feel nerves just as much as us amateurs do. So I think you just got to find a way that, you know, you harness it the best. And I think that's my way, is to just look at it like in a positive way of, as, you know, I'm nervous because this is where I want to be.
Great attitude. Pressure is a privilege, as Billie Jean King once said. Going back to James Pyatt, the USAM champ last year, and you know him, you told me you were friendly with him. He decided to join LIV Golf, which was, in my opinion, a pretty surprising move. Maybe not, because, you know, the money's great. I don't know how much money is, you know, his contract is, but what are your thoughts about him joining LIV Golf right off the bat?
I mean, like I said, I'm pretty close to James. I've had some conversations with him, and all I can really say on that note is I think he made the best decision for himself. It's hard for me to sit back and say one way or the other what I think about it, because you know, I don't really change my attitude or look on him as a person. I like James a lot. One of the most friendly guys I've ever competed against. Good kid. And I think at the end of the day, you know, he made the decision what he felt was best for him. So honestly, that's really, really all I have to say about it. Like I said, I like James a lot. Where he's playing golf doesn't really change my thoughts about him. And like I said, I just think he did what he thought was best.
Did Live Golf ever approach you?
They have not yet, no.
And if they did, would you go?
That's a good question. I'll answer that question, you know, I'll cross that bridge when we get there. I mean, I've always dreamed of competing on the PGA Tour. So my quick answer is probably not, but you know, there is something about guaranteed money. And I think that's what some of the younger guys are dealing with. So I don't really know, but like I said, I mean, I've always grown up watching PGA Tour, and, you know, I think for me, it's not as much about the money, because if I'm where I want to be someday on the PGA Tour, the money's not going to be an issue, right? I'm going to have everything I need. I'm going to be set. So, I think what everybody doesn't want to say, for some reason, is that most of these guys are going for the money, and that's totally fine. I'm not looking at any guys different. But for me, I feel like if I'm where I want to be someday, you know, in terms of how well I'm playing and winning championships, I want that to be on the PGA Tour, and I don't think the money is going to be an issue for me at that point. So that'd be my comment there.
Austin, I love the way you think. Remember, you know, Tiger, he didn't play for the money. The money comes, of course, and he's done incredibly well. He's what, a billionaire already, but he played for the history. He played to be the best. He played to, you know, for the legacy and to be number one. And, you know, he wouldn't think of leaving the PGA Tour because that's where the best competition is. And that's, you know, the history of golf is with that tour and with the PGA. So I like the way you think. That's not to say that, you know, you might change your mind in the future, but you know, you're grounded, and I think you have a great head on your shoulders.
Yeah, and I think on that note, real quick, I just want to say one more thing that came to mind. I think, you know, most of, I'll say golfers, I would imagine, but you can probably put any sport under this umbrella. I think most of the guys that play and want to play at the highest level are doing it because they want to be one of the top players in the world. And, you know, quite frankly, as of, you know, August 10th, Live Golf doesn't even have any OWGR points. So in my head, how can you go over to Live Golf and expect to be considered one of the best players in the world when they don't even have a ranking system for their events, right? And I think that's another thing that, you know, might resonate with some other golfers, but it definitely does in my head, that, you know, I'm practicing and preparing and playing to be the best, to be one of the best in the world, if not the best. You know, and that's a big mountain to climb, but I think that's another reason why it's tough to, you know, jump ship, some might say, because right now you can't be the best playing over there. You know, you're not playing against the best, and quite frankly, you're not ranked against the best. So I think that's the other kind of other avenue that doesn't make sense to me right now.
Other really good points. Austin, you're competing in the U.S. Amateur Championship this week at both Ridgewood Country Club and Arcola Country Club. And boy, talk about a rigorous competition. The first 2 days, 18-hole stroke play. The field then is cut to 64. Then you have 6 rounds of match play starting August 17th. Then you have the 36-hole championship match on August 21st. Is there anything more grueling in all of golf competition?
Probably not. I mean, I was a part of all of it last year. I will say this past week at Western definitely gives it a run for its money. I think this week at Western, I think it ends up being the same number of rounds, because you play 4 stroke play and then you play 4 more match play. But regardless, yes, it is a extremely long week. And I think honestly, the most crucial part about a Western week or a USAM week is physically being prepared and recovered and ready to go. I mean, it is a very long week on little sleep. It's, you can't eat enough, really. It's, you got to make sure you stay hydrated. It's typically pretty hot in these summer events. So it's, like you said, it's going to be very grueling, but it's a really, really good problem to have at the end of the week if you get there.
How you feel now? Are you ready to go? You're going to win it this week?
I mean, I feel like I said, I feel like my game's in a good spot. It's obviously, like last week, it's in a spot to win, but got to stay where I'm at right now a few days before the practice rounds and just take it step by step, one shot at a time, and kind of just see how the chips fall and see where I'm at come the start of the week and then every day after that.
Well, either way, you're exceptional. Austin Greaser, thank you so much for joining us. It's really been a real pleasure to talk with you.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me, Anne. I really appreciate it.
Best of luck. Continued success.
Thank you.
Golf Interview with Anne Liguori is brought to you by Tourism Ireland. Ireland is open and ready to welcome you back. World-class courses, celebrated links, spectacular scenery, rich culture, and the warmest of welcomes await. Now is the time to get back to the things that matter most. Now is the time for Ireland. Press the green button and start planning at ireland.com/golf. And by iBeCool Athleisure Wear for men and women. Technology meets fashion with iBeCool, stylish UPF 50 plus sun protection, and IceFill technology to cool your body temperature on hot and humid days. Look great and protect your skin. iBeCool.com.